everybody. Mishnah, we're going to discuss some of these rulings, some of these members of Rab Abba, who sent Rabbi Yosef Rechama a lot about the Pesiski Halacha from Kuf Chaf Zion to Kuf Chaf Test. But a few things from last week I want to just wrap up a little bit from the past few weeks. We'll just skip around and drop. It'll be pretty hopefully organized enough for everybody to follow along properly. So we discussed last week, I think the past two Chaburas, different people were discussing if the father's Nemanus, in terms of Yaakov, in terms of saying that the son's the Bechor, and we talked about saying the son's a son versus an Eved and so forth. So we ended up in the Gemara in which the father, if he said first said his son is an Eved, and then he says he's a son, the person says he's an Eved and a son. So the Gemara says he's not believed. The Gemara of the Akimta, in that case he's not believed. We're talking about the case of Eved Matsumea, and Eved, he says he's a 100 zuz Eved. So therefore, if a man says this person's a 100 buck Eved, and he says he's my son, so he's not believed to say that. So the Rishonim ask, they say, why is it that it can't be done? The Gemara earlier says that if a person has a Migo for Nemanus, to say the person is a Bechor, because he could have gone ahead and given as a gift the Nechasim to this child instead of declaring the Bechor. So if he says he's the Bechor, he should be believed. He could have just easily given the whole Yerusha as a gift anyway, so there's nothing gained by lying. Whereas here, though, there's no Migo available. The person can't say, oh, he's my 100 buck Eved, so to say. Oh, he's my son. And believe me, because I could have really given him money anyway. Believe me, he's my son. That's what doesn't work, I'm sure him say. Why not? So the Rishonim have different approaches, but the bottom line seems to be that the idea of Migo, what it does is it enhances a weak or creates Nemanus of non-existent Nemanus. The Nemanus is weak or doesn't exist, so Migo can be used to enhance or to bolster that Nemanus. However, in this case, the person already made a clear statement. He said, this person is my 100 zuz Eved, he said, basically. So for that, to cancel that statement now, Migo can't do. Migo can't clash another statement. Migo can't say the second statement overrides the first statement. It clashes with it and is superior to the first statement. That doesn't work. Migo enhances Nemanus if the person doesn't have Nemanus, if Nemanus is weak. It's Reyes doesn't have Nemanus. But Migo cannot enable one statement to clash with the previous statement, and there's no way to get out of it. It cannot enable the second statement to override the first statement. That Migo does not do that. That's what we should do. In this case, follow. I'm sorry if I'm going too fast. I'm just trying to have too big of an agenda, maybe. But, in this case, the man first said, he said, Abdihu, he's my Eved. And later on, he says, Benihu, he's my son. So we don't believe him. Now the Rishonim say, why don't we believe him? He could have given whatever, say he has a $500,000 of Yerusha. The man could have just easily given as a gift these $500,000 to this person who's now claiming he's his son. So therefore, he should have a Migo. Since he could have gone ahead and given him a gift anyway, given him $500,000 a gift to this person, so if he says he's my son, why not believe him? He could have accomplished the transfer of property without having to say he's my son. So therefore, he has a Migo. He should be believed to say he's my son. So he has a good reason to believe that. We say, no, we're trying to say that doesn't work, because you can't have statements that clash. Like the Rashba says, if a person says he's my Eved, it means he's not my son. If he says he's my Bechor, it means he's not my secondborn. If he says he's my secondborn, he's not my Bechor. Whatever a person means is taken very precisely. Therefore, if a person says he's my 100 Jews Eved, it means he's not my son, and he's not my child at all. So go ahead and say, let's say if it clashes with it, Migo doesn't work for that. Okay. I would assume so. Okay, now we have the idea of Yakir, in which the father is believed to say that a certain child is a Bechor. And Rabbi Yehuda says in the Gemara, he can even say Yakir, even going against known information. If somehow there's information that one child, that Shimon or Reuven was the Bechor, and the father says, nope, Shimon is really the Bechor, so we believe the father. So there's a machlokas Rishonim. When does this exist in Rabbi Yehuda? Gemara talks about Rabbi Yehuda, there's already a chazaka, let's say that one child's a Bechor. Rashbam says it means there's only a kol, there's no Adam. There are no Adam saying that one child's a Bechor. We had a kol, we had a chazaka that Reuven's the Bechor. So the corn of Rabbi Yehuda, the Rashbam says, the Gemara says that the father can come along and says, nope, Reuven is not my Bechor, Shimon's really the Bechor, despite the chazaka on Reuven, Shimon's the Bechor. That's what the Rashbam says. That seems to be the postures of the Gemara. However, Rich Voss says no. That's why the Rishon Lazer say no. The father's Nemanus is even against Adam, and even if there are two Adam that say that Reuven is the Bechor, the father still wins out. The father can win out against Adam, and he can be Kaveya Shimon is the Bechor. What's this machlokus? Balsamar were talking about it, and I think he had a very nice hasbro. To say that the father can win out over a chazaka, okay, that's an idea of neimanus. The father has a superior neimanus. He has a neimanus, the level of edus. The Torah gave the father neimanus similar to edus, we can say. Therefore, he wins out over a kol or over a chazaka. That's fine. That's the Rashbam. The father's neimanus is like edus, or high level neimanus. However, Balsamar was suggesting for the Ritvos, that the father can even beat out Adam and be Kaveh, certain boys of Bechor, because it's not an idea of Nemanis, it's an idea of designation, Halos Shem, Kriya Shem. The father has the right to be Korei Shem, Kaveh Shem, Kriya Halos, and whichever child he wants, and he believes, he states is the Bechor. Therefore, it's not a question of believing the father versus two Adam have superior Nemanis. But no, the father actually is not even dealing with Nemanis. He's dealing with something totally different that can just trump any Nemanis. He's saying, I mean, Kaveh, this was the Bechor. Halosham, the Kureshem, this is the Bechor. Like a Yoredei idea, it's a Halos. And that's what Balsam is suggesting. And that's why, no matter what, the father wins the day. He can be Kaveh who the Bechor is. There's nothing to do with Nemanis. That was a nice head where Balsam mentioned. There's another machlokis within Bechor as follows. The Gemara here talks about a case in which, let's say we had sons Reuben and Shimon, right? And let's say that the father says, no, Reuben's not the Bechor, even though Reuben is older. Maybe we have Adam saying Reuben is older. The father says, no, Shimon's the Bechor. So if that happened, the father says Shimon's the Bechor, that implies that Reuben came from another woman, another man. Reuven really came, even though she's from the, even though Reuven and Shimon have the same mother, the father says Shimon's really the Bechor, it means that the mother was from Mizana with somebody else, and that's how Reuven was born, because Reuven did not come from this man, from the father, from another man, from the father, from the mysterious man, from the father. It means Reuven can be a mamzer, So that obviously is the case. If a man's with Kaveh, a younger son is the Bechor, the older son, if we know the parents were married when the older son was born, that the older son turns out to be a mamzer. What if the father wants to go ahead and say, he doesn't want to say my son's a Bechor, he wants to say independently, he says, this son's a mamzer. He's not saying who's a Bechor. He's saying this son is a Chalal, this son is this or that. He wants to designate a status upon one of his sons. Nothing to do with Bechor. Doesn't depend upon Bechor. So that's Machlok's Rishon. The Gemara in Kedushin about this. Machlok's Rishon, if the father flat out can go ahead and say, this son is a whatever, mamzer, a Chalal, whatever he is, can he do that or not? If it doesn't depend upon being Kaveh once or before. Everyone agrees if he's Kaveh, Shimon's the Bechor, Reuven turns out to be Kavuah as a mamzer. If the mother was married to the man at the same time. However, can the father go ahead and be Kaveh a child of some other status that does not relate to Bechor, and does not result from being one being the Bechor? Folks, we shun them on that. So I thought perhaps the Hezbollah is like this for that. What is the, when the Torah gives the father this unusual namanus or ability to be Kaveh who the Bechor is, what is the Torah doing? So see, on the one hand, it's true, you can have Adam maybe. Adam somehow can be made of the Bechor, but it's hard for Adam to be made on the Bechor. Why is that? Because we don't know who the father, who he had relationship with, when he had relationship with certain people. We have no idea to pin that down. Even if the Adam, even if they say that he had relationship with a certain person, they can't track every single relationship the father has had. I mean, in theory they could do that, but it's very, very difficult to say Adam actually were with the father every second of his life, and therefore they can be made in every single relationship he might have had, and therefore they can know who the Bechor is. It might be possible, in theory it's possible, but it's highly unlikely that you can have Adam who can prove who the Bechor is. It can happen, but it's unlikely. Therefore, the Torah gave the father the special nemanus. Why is he having nemanus? Because there's no real practical edus that can be existing on who the Bechor is. It's very hard to come across. The Torah says, who knows better than the father whom he had relationships with and who the firstborn of that relationship is? It's the father. Therefore, when the Torah gives the father nemanus, what nemanus is the Torah giving the father? Whether it's nemanus or a right to be kaveh, whatever it is, what's the Torah giving? What kind of nemanus or right to be kaveh is this? The one thing you can see the father is given the right to be kaveh, the fruits of his relationships. He has the right, nemanus, to state what's the status of the fruits of his relationships. Therefore, just like you can say this boy is a Bechor, you can say this boy is a mamzer, this boy is a Chalal, this boy is a Ben Grusha, this boy, he can say whatever he wants about the people with whom women who have relationships, about the payers of that relationship. The Bechor is no different than any other fruit of the relationship. That's the way that some Rishonim would learn. Therefore, the father can say whatever he wants. He can be Kaveh, Shemos, and all types of, different types of children, mamzer, Grusha, Rusha, Chalal, whatever he wants, nothing to do with Bechor. However, if you say it's only a Bechor, he can be Kaveh, or anything coming from Bechor, Mishal is like this, Bechor. not that the father has this buy list to say whatever he wants about anybody that may come from his relationships. Rather, the father is given the right to choose, basically, to make an election. The Torah says, you have a bunch of children, however many children you have. You, the father, have the right to elect, to designate, to indicate which one is the Bechor. It's not just that he has this ultimate namanus over Yotzei Yerecha. Rather, he has the right to designate. He has the right to make a choice out of the election ballot. You just choose one of the choices. So the father has the right to choose one of the choices. Therefore, it's only din b'chor, or somebody who results from b'chor. It's not that he can go ahead and say whatever he wants about your Yotzei Yerecha. It's only din b'chor. He has the right to elect among his children who the b'chor is. That's the way to learn, I think. Okay. The next situation would be as follows. Now we're going on to Kuf Chaf Chesem Adal. I'll go a little bit slower. I hope I'm not going too quickly. I'm just trying to squeeze too much in. The Gemara says like this. I'll do this very slowly. There's the second bottom line, actually. Kuf Chaf Zayin Adal. I'm a base. I'll just read this if it's okay. Everybody? It says, Shalach Le Rabab Le Rav Yosef Ben Marhama Ha'omir L'Chaveru Avdi Ginavta V'hu Omir Lo Ginavti. He says, you stole my oven. He says, nope, I did not steal it. Ativu Etzlecho Atem Hartali Atem Satali B'Matana. So he says, no, I acquired it rightfully. I did not take anything from you. This evidence is totally my evidence. Reuben says, in my evidence. Shimon says, it's my evidence, entirely my evidence. I bought it. I was given as a gift. It's my evidence entirely. And Shimon continues, though, with Sonacha, he shoved up a tool. But if you want, take a shvut and it's yours. Shimon volunteers it to Reuben. He says, you're claiming it. It's not yours. But if you want, take a shvut and you can have it. And we have a machlokes kirsos of Tom of the Rishonim, Nishba Enu Yach Lachzibo. So Shimon can at a certain point no longer be chozer. When can Shimon no longer be chozer in this case? He denied the Eved belongs to anybody else. It's my Eved entirely. And then he says, however, if you want, Mr. Reuven, take a shvu and it's yours. So at what point can Shimon no longer be chozer and Reuven really has the right to keep it at that point? When is that? Enu Tom says that's once Reuven takes the shvuah. Once Reuven takes the shvuah, the Eved is his. Until Reuven takes the shvuah, he has no right to the Eved. Because the Gemara continues, he compares this case to a person who says, Naman alai abba, naman alai avicha, naman alai shlosha roi bakar. The Gemara, it talks about a person in Sanhedrin, if a person says, you know what, I'll accept as a dayan, my father, your father, I'll accept roi bakar, or pasul, I'll accept pasul dayanim for our case. I'm willing to cave in and accept Paslim for our case. Gemara compares to that case. So Ben Tom says, well, just like in that case, once the Din Torah takes place, they have a Gemara Din, these Paslim Dayanim from the person's Makabal, he agreed to a Bez in the Paslim. Once the Pesach takes place, Gemara Din can't be Chozer. So to here, once the Shvuah takes place, Reuben takes the Shvuah, can't be Chozer. Prior to the Shvuah, you can do whatever you want. You have to have this legal procedure take place. It's like a Pesach Din must take place, so to the Shvuah must take place. Then Shimon cannot be Chozer anymore. Some other Rishonim say, no. Different gears. So most Shimon don't agree with Ben Tom. They say, once Shimon says, take a Shvuah and it's yours, he shoved a toll, that's it. Reuben gets to keep it. Shimon has surrendered it. They don't spell out. Like, Hodos Baldin Lahor. Hodos Baldin. What's this machlokas? Does Reuven have to first take a shvuah in order for the Levit to become his? And until he takes the shvuah, Shimon can sit back out and say, no, I decide I want to keep it. Or no, once Shimon says, Yeshav Atol, take a shvuah and it's yours, Shimon has surrendered it. Then he surrendered it, and Reuven keeps it no matter what. What's this machlokas? So the Chor of the machlokas is like this. We have cases, these cases obviously, whether it's a Pasul Bezin or taking one of these unnecessary shvuah. Shimon says, Reuben, take a shvuah and it's yours. It's not a shvuah the Torah imposes. It's a made-up shvuah. We have these made-up legal procedures. A person makabel upon himself to go through one of these legal procedures. How does it work? You could say that if the person agrees to this procedure, the Torah recognizes the procedure as valid. The Torah says, you know what, this shvuah is not necessary. But if you want to impose it upon yourself, the Torah says it will be recognized. It's a recognized shvuah and it will be binding. You don't have this bezin, the pasul bezin, the pasul dayanim, the krovim and the psulim. But if you submit to their din, once they make the din, it's a binding psak din. That's one way to view it. But really, the Torah recognizes these non-necessary, self-imposed legal proceedings as binding real proceedings. As if it's a real shvuah that creates a kinyan, creates a heishchayvus, a real psak din. The other way you could say is no. It's really a form of hodos bal din. Hodos bal din. The person is just volunteering the thing. He's admitting. The way that it's expressed is through a shvuah. The way that it's expressed is through a bez, it's a mevar, or really who has it. But it's really hados baldin. That's the machlokas. Do you say the pshat is that it's really the legal proceedings, but to deny the person's motive to it, he's consents to it, or no, the Torah does not recognize these proceedings. It does not recognize proceedings per se. It's really a Hodoas Baldin that the Torah recognizes. And the proceedings simply are a manifestation of that Hodoas Baldin, but if you don't need the proceedings, if you don't need the Shvuah, because you know the person was motive anyway, you see he agreed to it, you don't need the Shvuah at all, and the Chiyuv takes place right away. I think that's the Machlokas, perhaps. Okay, going on, continue on Kuf Chaf Ches Amud Aleph. The Gemara at the bottom talks about a case in which... No, I'm sorry, let me go back one. I'm sorry, I'm going to jump around with that. Kuf Chaf Zayin, this is a sugi that I don't think we did in the Chaburah, so I just want to just throw in one little piece of it. Please forgive me. Kuf Chaf Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara there is talking about Bechor, identifying the Bechor, and even though the Gemara doesn't go this way, it has a case in which Rava says that if there were two brothers, and they were two brothers, they were born to two different women, both of who were wives of one man. So you have one man, Reuven, he has two wives, Rachel and Leah. They both have a boy, and they're in a cave, and we don't know which boy was born first. Was the child of Rachel born first, the child of Leah born first? These two boys are born in a cave. One of them is the Bechor to the fathers. And the man, two wives, they get birth in the cave. We don't know who was born first. So the Gemara has idea. Rava has idea, which the Gemara says is not true against the Pasuk, but Rava had the Havlina to say that they can write a Harshoa. These two sons can write a Harshoa. They can say, we don't know who's the Bechor. One of us is the Bechor. The other siblings, we have eight other siblings, they're not the Bechor. We don't want them to get the Pishnayim. One of us gets the Pishnayim. Let's make a deal. One son will make a Shtar Harshoah with you, the other son, and you go to Beis Din, and you go to the Chaluk, and they distribute the Nechassim, and you can on my behalf, you can argue and say, I'm representing the other brother if he's the Bechor, through a Shtar Harshoah, I have a power of attorney to represent him, and give us the Nechassim. So that's the idea. These two brothers can designate each other as doing a Shtar Harshoah, and they can go to litigate against the other siblings in Beis Din to be Kona the Pishnayim. So, big machlokes Rishonim here. Rashbam and Rambam versus all the other Rishonim, it seems. How does this work? Because the Gemara Bava Kama, on the one hand, says a Shtar Harshoah. The Nardoi there says, you can only make a Shtar Harshoah if the person who's going to Beis Din to argue, toying on behalf of somebody else, if he has a kinyan in the thing itself. He has to have a kinyan. You can't just go to Beis Din and say, I'm showing up to represent this person. It doesn't work. You have to have a kinyan in that thing you are claiming. If you have an interest in it, if you have an interest, a kinyan in it, you can make a claim Beis Din. If you don't have a kinyan, you have no standing. You say, La bal divarim didiyati, get out of here. You have no right to come to represent anybody here. You have no interest in this case. So the Nardoi there say that the Baal, person coming to Beis Din with the Shtar HaShoah, has to himself have a kinyan in the thing he's claiming, and the thing he claims is right, there are rights to. However, the Ravashi, the end of that sugya there, says Shtar HaShoah works through shlichus. So there's a big machlokus there. So this boils down to a microscopic machlokus here. The main machlokus is Bava Kama. The machlokus is how Shtar HaShoah works. Because in this case, the brothers, and we postulate like, let's go back a drop. The machlokus earlier, whether a Bechor has a chelik in the Pishnayim, in his Yerusha before he receives or not. But Papi says yes, the Bechor has a share in the Yerusha and his Chalik even prior to the receipt of it, prior to the Chalukah. If Papa says no, the Bechor has no control, no interest in anything until the Chalukah takes place. Now, Rav Papi and Rav Papa's Machlokis will impact upon the ability to do our Shtar HaShoah, it seems. According to Rav Papi, it says the Bechor has a share in the chaluk in his special chalik even before the actual distribution. Papi says, you know what? One of these brothers can simply be machna his chalik or part of the chalik to the other brother and say, now we have a good harshoah and go in Beis Din because you have a share in this Yerusha. Rav Papa says, you can't do that. The Bechor has no share in anything until he receives it, until the distribution. So some Rishonim, like the Rashbam here says, the Feirush, that this whole Harshoah idea only works according to Rav Papa. The Bechor has to have a chelik in it to go ahead and have a Harshoah. The brother going to Beis Din to have a Harshoah has to have a kinyan. However, Tosfos, the Ritzvah, many other Rishonim say, no, you see in the Gemara there, Harshoah is shlichus, no need for any chelik. They must learn the Nahar Doi as Cholik on Rabashi there, must learn the Machlokas in the Gemara. but simply shlichus. You do not, in order to go to Bezdin, represent someone, you do not need to have a share in his property, to have a shor hashoah. You can go ahead and be a shlich, and that's it. So I thought, perhaps, what's this machlokes about? Bottom line, can the person go to Bezdin without actually having a share in the nechassim? Or another way you'd say it, does shlichus work? Does shlichus work for hashoah without having any kinyan? So I thought perhaps the machlokes is always like this. How is it that a person gets a zechus to be toying, to be tovei something in Bezdin? You can't just go ahead and simply have out of the blue and say, that's my money, I'm taking it to court, that's my money, that's my car, that's my money. You can't do that. You have to have a certain basis, a certain relationship in order to do that. You have to have a certain koach hatayna. How does a person get the koach hatayna in the first place? So once you have koach hatayna, you can maybe transfer to, if you know Harshar, and transfer to your brother, and he can go to Bezdin on your behalf. How does koach hatayna arise? So one opinion says, what koach hatayna is? Koach hatayna is not a special koach. It just means that you are the one who has this property. You're entitled to the property. If you're the owner of the property, the former owner, the one who was taken from, or you have a claim to it, you have a stake in it, so you can make a claim. That's all koach hatayna is. It just means that your property really is really yours. That's all it means. And that's the case. You can't transfer a koach hatayna to anybody. And therefore, for a person to represent you, he must have a share in that thing itself. You can't say, I got a koach hatayna from my brother. It's meaningless. If you don't own the property, you have no koach hatayna. The other sheet just says no. Koach hatayna really is a special zechus, an independent zechus that arises out of ownership. If I own, let's say I'm one brother, if I own something, once I own that thing, I have a koach hatayna. I can transfer that koach hatayna to my other brother. It's an independent koach, independent zechus I have. I can transfer it to my brother. He can then legitimately go to Bezdin as my shaliach. He has a full standing in Bezdin as a shaliach. So that's the machlokes, I think. The Rishonim who say, the Rashbam and the Rambam say, that Shor HaShoah is not going to work unless you have an ownership, says you can't transfer Koach HaTayna. The first brother can't transfer Koach HaTayna to the second brother. Koach HaTayna means you own it. If you don't own it, you have no Koach HaTayna. It's just a symptom of ownership. Therefore, you have to have a share to go to Bezdin. Whereas the other Rishonim say, no, it's Shlichus, don't worry about it. They say, you know what? Yeah, Shlichus works here. Because once you own something, you have a Koach independent Zechus to be towing to a Tvei in Bezdin, to have standing in Bezdin. You can transfer that Zechus to another person, making a Shliach on your behalf. I think that's the Machlokus. Here on the same folks that we showed in Bava Kama. Okay. The Gemara on Pichav Zion and Mabez, back to Yakir, talks about what do we need this pasuk of Yakir for in the first place? Why did the father need to have this special zechus to be kovei or to the manners to indicate who the bechor is? You know, what's it necessary for? It's a certain case in which, you know, maybe the father could have just given the property to a child anyway, therefore he doesn't need a special mamonis. He has an ego, he could have gone ahead and given it. Or maybe Reb Meir says, they can mock the davar shlo b'lalam. So we're going to Reb Meir. Why is it we need a pasuk of especially the person of Yakir? The person can be mocking the stuff. He can now, before while he's still alive, he can say, I mocked it to my son after I died. And it works, it's fine. So why do you need Yakir for? He can accomplish the transfer of his property without a special pasuk saying who the bechor is. He can transfer, before he dies, he can say, that son, Reuven, I want to give him double. After I die, he can double. He can do that according to Reb Meir. So why isn't it? Gemara says, Nizi Yakir according to Reb Meir, because maybe the father would be a ghost. If the father's a ghost, he cannot make kinyonim. He cannot make the statement I just said, that after I die, my son, whatever I want, is going to get double. He couldn't do that. Therefore, Yakir comes and says, no, you can just somehow indicate who should get it, and that'll be the Bechor, and the Torah will recognize that statement, however it's said. Machlokes was shown him here. Why is it that a goses cannot make kinyanim? So the Rashbam and other Rishonim, most Rishonim say, well, a goses, like the quote from Seches, saying that the goses is kachai v'chol davar, he can make kinyanim whatever he wants. But this goses, technically, he can't talk. He's very, very sick. He can't speak, and therefore, because practically he can't express him, he can't make kinyanim because he just can't talk, can't get the words out, can't move around, can't make kinyan, whatever. So therefore, the Torah accommodated him and makes a gezeres kasha of the din of Yakir.
Wait, if he can't talk, how is he going to be able to say?
I think the same thing. Either maybe by writing, maybe pointing. I'm not really sure how it would be. I'm not sure. Maybe not his head if they ask him a question.
Maybe like a simon or something.
Something like that. I was thinking the same thing this morning. Probably the same. It must be something like that. It's a good question. Like Rich Voder quotes, I think it's the Rehi quotes. Another report the same opinion. He says, no, a gosei cannot make kinyonim. His koach kinyon is gone. Not because practically he can't speak, but he cannot make kinyonim. He has no koach kinyon. So Rabbi Boltzmann are talking about this. What's this machlokas? Can a gosei really make kinyonim? But practically he just might be able to speak, and therefore it's going to be hard for him to, and it's impossible physically. The Torah accommodated him. Or no, a gosei does not legally have a koach kinyon. What's the pshat? So I'll make it like this. What is gosei? Gosei, you could say, is the way most shown in Rashbam learn. It's just a practical thing. The person is unfortunately about to die, and that's, there's nothing, you know, he just has physical limited abilities, but he's chai l'chol davar, like Sechus Macha says. Or you can say, no, Gosis is a transitional stage. Just like Katnus and Nairus are transitioned to godless, and they don't have the same das, the same legal standing, the same legal capacity, halachic capacity that a godel has. So to a Gosis, he's transitioning on the way out of life, so to say. Therefore, he also lacks that legal capacity to a certain degree. Whatever legal capacity a Kutten, a Nar, or whoever certain people might have, because they're transitioning, they're not yet reached godless, but the Gosei is on the reverse, he's on his way out, so to say. Therefore, he also does no longer have that legal status. It's act as a legal state, and therefore the legal das, to whatever degree, has been removed from him, according to the Torah. Okay. We should go back now to Kufchaf Ches. The Gemara on Kuf Chaf Chasim Aleph talks about testifying for relatives. It says that a person...
Right, but if you say Goses, as if you say he has a legal status, so Legabri, what dinim he's alive and what dinim... Doesn't the Gemara say Goses is Kichai L'Kol Dabra?
Yeah, the person kills him, he's Chai.
Right, so if he's really Kichai once, then why are you saying he can't do this?
The Chor is a question of Das. I mean, he's Chai. A person kills a child, he's Chai Misal.
I mean, he doesn't have Das.
Oh, right. Right, the legal,
therefore
legal.
He's Mokka from Kinyani.
Right. Now this is right. But again, it's not a practical thing. Like he's tired and he's like foggy. But it's a legal thing.
Legally, he's Mokka from Das.
Right.
It must be.
Yes, I think that is. The Gemara Kuf Chaf Chesim Aleph talks about being made on different relatives. The Gemara had a halachah that you can be made on your grandfather.
I mean, when you say he is mufka from das, do we have a maka for that? Is that a svara or
a svara? This one is quoted. We don't have any original. We shouldn't say this. We don't have it in print. It's just been quoting, saying that he doesn't have it. The ain l'kolach kinyan.
But if you say it's legal, how do you have a svara for something that's legal? I don't understand.
No, I'm trying to.
If you're saying it's an umdana, so then we say it's a svara. But if you say it's legal, what koach do we have to create this legality?
No, I'm saying that here's the Torah,
but where did the Torah do it? Show me a pasuk. Give
no
me
idea.
Some
I
source.
No, I have no idea.
What's the basis to say that the Torah? If you say the word Torah, you need to have a pasuk support this.
I don't know. I'm just saying the quotes from Rishon. They simply say in the koach hakin, and they say.
Yeah, but what's the basis?
Yeah, I don't know. Physically, we know obviously not in physical good shape physically. So therefore, they could say this physical, a good question, is this lack of physical, you know, whatever you want to call it, like, in fact, he's not, he's incapacitated, it actually is not just physical, but it reflects a legal state that he's in. It's a state that he's in. It's not just a, what I'm trying to say? Let's have a person who's a very strong, healthy young person, a 30-year-old guy, athlete, but somebody, bandits, they got him and they captured him and they taped his mouth shut and they put him in chains so he can't speak and he can't move and so forth. We say, in lo das, no, he has full capacities. He's been externally restrained.
Right.
Here, though, he's internally restrained. Just like it could be similar to a cherish, maybe something similar to that. It's an internal restraint, and therefore, just like that, internal restraint is reflected in the chesaron of das.
Okay,
good question. So, the Gemara talked about krovim. We're on a hamin that the person can be made on his grandfather. It says, no way. The machlokus, the Rashbam and Tosfos, many machlokus, we show them on this, whether a person can be made on a grandfather several generations away. The grandfather directly, the Gemara says, can't be made. Can a person be made on a grandfather who's so distant he doesn't even know him? So, Tosfos says, yeah, why not? Tosfos says, this is the Tosfos of... the Les Hilchos of Marbar of Ashi. He quotes first the Rashbam, Pirish Bakuntris, the Filu Atsof Kolodor is possible. A person cannot be made on his grandfather all the way back. It's impossible. He cannot be made on your grandfather, a half or a son, many generations, great, never works. The Rashbam quotes here, he says, because he's Yarech Aviv. He's related directly. He's the progeny of that person. He's like, he's the son. Which says, no, they ain't near the read to keep him to East Palak Darkoha. He's so far removed. not a problem. So, we didn't discuss this, but I thought perhaps, maybe it's a better sfara if you say it, but I thought perhaps the machlokis, I'm sure there's machlokis in Sanhedrin, which I'm not sure. The machlokis might be, in terms of the psul kurva for edus, it might be, what's the idea, the psul kurva, the Rashbam says, it's a legal psul. Legally, al pi din, this person is considered to be, even though it's his great-great-great-great-grandfather, legally, he's like his son. Legally, they are legally bound together, and there's no such thing as edus. They have edus is an idea of a legal kurva. However, the Tosfos might say, no, edus really is an idea of a personality, a kurva of personalities. And therefore, if you have people who are, let's say, Mark says first cousins can't be made on each other, first against grandfather, aunt and uncle, and so forth, and there's a kurva of personalities. The Dorus are too close together, even if they don't know who they are, but Al-Pi Halacha, there's the normal case, there's a kurva of personalities. That's what Tosfos say. So later, says, I've proven to each other, it's due to a kurva of personalities. Therefore, if the personalities are distant, they have no relationship, not a problem. Whereas the Rashbam says, it's a legal kurva. They are legally related. Legally, they are bound together. Therefore, even though he's his grandfather 10 generations up, it doesn't matter there's psalators. Psalators and can't do anything about it.
Wait, what do you mean by kurva of personalities? You mean, do they know each other?
Well, practically.
Let's say you have a father and a son.
Strange,
yeah, the guy never saw each other for his life. Yeah, and then he grew up in another country, so you're going to tell me he could
obviously
be made?
No,
so you don't have a kurva of personality. What kind of kurva of personality is that?
Obviously they can't.
Yeah, so what's this business of kurva of personality?
What it means is that you can say that in a normal case there is a relationship. The Torah says it can't be made. Yeah, no clue. The Torah says these people, there's a psul. Everybody's a legal psul. There's a legal psul, everyone agrees. The shaila is how
wait, you just said that's the machlokes.
No,
make up your mind. Do you agree or do you have to say that's the machlokes?
I mean to say what is the
reason?
Yeah, the reason or what's the
why did the Torah say? Is that what you do?
Philosophy.
Well, that's what it sounds like.
What I mean is that how is it formulated? What is the formulation of the psul? It's formulated as a psul of personality. It's true. What does that mean?
According to that, then if their father never saw his son, then he could be made for him. That's what you're saying. It's formulated as personalities. So these personalities never meet. So according to that, I mean, come on, nobody would say that in a million years.
It's the last thing you're saying, but we didn't discuss.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question. Okay. Think about it for a minute. Open the floor, what I say.
Okay.
A few more on cases and then we'll wrap this up. All right. The Gemara on Chuf Chaf Chaf in the Bays has a case like this. The husband says, this is towards the start of jumping around, these different members of Abba, and I just wanted to cover the ones that have folks have shown him on them, so try to get a little Havan on them. The Gemara says, if a man says, this is that the first of the two dots. Shalom Chayyur Babel Rav Yosef Bar Chama again. Ha'omer Titel Ishti Ke'echem Min Abanim. Tell us Ke'echem Min Abanim. The husband says, my wife should get a portion like one of my son, like one of the boys, one of my sons. She gets that. Okay, and there's more stipulations as to when and how much I divide it. Basically, that she has this. So some Rishonim say, well, what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush here is that, well, he doesn't say, since he didn't say the word Yerusha, since he sort of means like a Yerusha type of Kenyan for the wife, that's the sort of implied Arusha style Kenyan. I would think it's possible. No, it's a good haknah. He can say such a thing, and it's a Torah of Matana that works. He can say, you should get a chelik from one of my sons, and this works as a matana, as it works like a matana or format, not a Arusha format. However, there's a machlok Rishonim as follows. There's the woman who receives this chelik, does she receive her ksuba or not? Some Rishonim, the Ritva Kosef in the Ri, says, this comes in place for Ksuba. If this man says, my woman should receive a chelik like the boys, that means, in other words, she's getting this instead of a Ksuba. That's what the one Shita says. Most Shita say, no. The Ravid argues, most Rishonim say, no. She receives her Ksuba anyway. In addition to her Ksuba, she's getting this chelik. He's giving her an additional chelik, a bonus. She gets her Ksuba, of course, that's not up to debate, unless somehow there's a, whatever, but that's up to debate. and he's giving her a bonus gift, whatever. Whereas other sheet of the Ri says, nope, this is in place for Ksuba. That's what this is. So I thought perhaps Machlokas is like this.
What's the case? What does he say to her?
He says to her, he says, Titol ishti kechad min habanim. A wife should receive a portion like one of my sons, one of the boys. So he's giving her a matana, thinking it's lachar misa.
So is it in addition to the ksuba?
That's the machlokas, right.
Or does it
replace the ksuba?
But how can you replace it? Ksuba is a tnai bezin. How it is you have a power to remove a few ksuba? I don't understand that.
I understood the idea that she's consenting to this
She's agreeing. She's being moko.
It's not spelled that. It's a quote. It's a quote. It's not. It's quoting another rishon. We don't have a sefer of rishon that actually says that this is.
She's actually being moho her ksuba?
I guess that's how it would work. The other reason I'm saying, how can it work? And she's not being shoseka, she's not being moho, she's not doing anything. Right. If you can't take it away. The pasha says that somehow she's being moho. She hears it, she somehow doesn't protest it. That seems to be the context. And the Rishonim,
you mean they only argue whether she has the legal power or not? That's what you're saying? But they all agree practically she's trying to be moho, but the question is, will it help?
She's trying to be, but the question is whether you can infer a mechila from her. The lack of action when he says this, maybe, or even, I'll tell you what I'm going to say. You'll see what I want to say.
You're telling me this is a case where a man is telling to a woman that she should lower the value of the ksuva?
Well, it could be higher. It could be. This is even higher. But she's going to get this not in addition. But let's say Ksuba was Messiah Zeus, and he says, "I'm giving you 500 Zeus." So this could be 500, and she's not going to get the Messiah 500 total. 500 period instead of the Messiah. It doesn't mean it's necessarily losing money. It could be she's gaining money, but she's not getting Ksuba in addition. She's whatever Ksuba would give. She's not.
I mean, this will be her Ksuba plus more.
Well, maybe that's the case. Maybe it's much more. They don't address that. But certainly would be included in what they're discussing.
Okay, fine.
So I thought perhaps about folks like this. How do you view the ksuba with this? The woman, as we know, the husband's Yerush's wife. The wife's not Yerush, the husband. As we know, we learned that about 2 months ago when we started the parak. She's not Yerush. So how do you view the ksuba? Even though it's true, the ksuba is a bezin and it's in a farnisher and so forth, but you could say the ksuba really is viewed as a replacement of that Yerusha. Really, he's Yerushim, so why isn't she Yerushim? So the vision of ksuba is, even though it's parnasa and so forth, but it really is viewed, perhaps, as a replacement, as a Yerusha for the wife. It's really her form of Yerusha. It's unique, has a new name and a new format and a new takana. It's really a wife's Yerusha, basically. Or you could say the ksuba is a separate, independent, unrelated source of parnasa, nothing to do with anything, Yerusha anything. It's just kavu and that's it. I think that maybe the machlokas here. But you say the ksuba is just independent, kiv, independent schum kesef, whatever she receives. Nothing to do with Yerusha. If he talks about Yerusha, he talks today and tomorrow about Yerusha. She can be Shosekev, and he hears it, and she's Makabal, and she wants this new thing, wants to offer, Chelik, Mechem, and Abanim. Doesn't matter. The Ksuba is unaffected. Ksuba is not part of the parsha. Ksuba has nothing to do with Yerusha. He's talking about he's not saying about Yerusha, but it's a Yerusha-type format. Ksuba is unrelated to Yerusha. Ksuba is not affected by his discussion about a Yerusha-type kinyan to the woman. However, according to the other Rishonim, according to the read that was quoted, who said that she forfeits her Ksuba, which idea that Ksuba really is formulated as the wife Yerusha, so to say, in place if she had no Yerusha, to come gave her this as a Yerusha. Therefore, if he goes in and says, "I'm giving you this special Yerusha," and she's not, and she's doesn't know him, she seems to consent and so forth, she doesn't just try to defend her ksuba, this will replace her ksuba, because that gufa, that is, well, you have a ksuba, it's Yerusha, he's giving her a new Yerusha, she's in Kabbalah, and it might even be higher money, so whatever. Last case I wanted to discuss with somebody is the issue on right here as well, in the same daf, in which there's a long sugya. This is the one salient point I wanted to mention, which is as follows. If there is a shtar and a person knows money, and Adam say...
Wait, before you go on, let's say we talk about Yerusha. Now, the kids, when they're Yorish, the father, they're both Yorish Karka and Metaltalin and Karka.
Mm-hmm.
Yerusha is not subject only to Karka. Yerusha applies to everything.
Yeah, of course.
And yet, when it comes to the Ksuba, the woman can only collect the ksuba from the karka, right? Not from the metaltalin.
Okay.
So the question is, if it's real Yerusha, why should there be a chiluk between karka and metaltalin? If you're telling me it's Yerusha.
The ksuba is Yerusha.
Yeah, if you say ksuba is Yerusha, then why should the difference, right? Why should it be different than regular Yerusha?
I don't know. Obviously, they modeled differently for different reasons. The mount they gave is specially tailored to her, so I don't know. Maybe since it's not a real chiyuv, I'm not sure. It's not a sephala chiyuv, so is it really to create it out of the blue?
I mean, would you say there's a din of, let's say in the kever, or what we call when you go from the kever, when a person is dead, you transfer the Yerusha.
Mishmush.
Would you say there's mishmush by Ksuba?
I wouldn't. I mean, I doubt it. I don't know. I doubt it.
So I'm saying, if you're claiming there's a din of Yerusha, so what about all those nafkaminas that we have that were unique to Yerusha?
You know what I mean?
Would you say that they apply to Ksuba?
I don't think so. What I mean is, I think that not that it's a form of Yerusha. This takes on a character issue. What it means is, this is meant to compensate her, since she has no Yerusha. This is meant to compensate her as a set of Yerusha.
It's in place
of Yerusha.
Substitute
for Yerusha, right.
Substitute.
Since she has no Yerusha, the Chachamim said, give her this
instead of the Yerusha.
Right, not that it acts like Yerusha. However, since the Mechayev of it was a Yerusha Mechayev, uh-huh. Therefore, if you have another Yerusha, that can supplant this one.
Uh-huh.
That's what I meant.
It's a substitute.
Yeah, substitute for Yerusha, right. The other Pesach said, nothing to do with Yerusha. It's independent.
Right.
See, nothing to do with Yerusha. This one says, substitute for Yerusha. She has no Yerusha. They substitute this Ksuba as a Yerusha.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Last point is this: Kufchav Tes Amud Beis. I think it's the final point of Abin. These memories he was saying. It is the last one he had. I'll just read him from the Gemara in a few minutes, and that'll be it. It says, "Shalach le Rabbah Rav Yosef Bar Chama Hamotzi Starcho Bal Chaveru Malve Omer Lo Nifrati." Malve says, "There's a star, and I was not paid up. Klum, I didn't receive anything from this $100 star. Lo Omer Parati Mechza." I paid you half. I paid $50 at the start. Edom shapar kula. Edom says he was pouring everything. The star is paid up. Edom says the star is paid up. As hard as a nishpa, a gova, mechzav, nechasim, necharin, alim, shabadim, lo. So the person has to swear he pays 50, he'll pay half. But there's no shibun nechasim. I'm the star, the amre, anan, edom, samchinim. Because lekuchos can say, we're lying to Edom. The Edom said the star is fully paid up. So the Lova says, "Oh, I know the Edom are." Lova's a very nice guy. He says the Edom are, they said the whole thing is paid up. I owe nothing, but I actually do owe half. I'm confessing I owe half. So he owes half, and he has to swear and pay that half he owes, but not from the Chosim Shabbat. There's no Shibud Nechosim because the star has been canceled out because of the Edom, apparently.
Well, what's the case? The what?
There's a Malva says that I lent you, Mr. Lova, $100. I have a star. Lova says, "Yes, that's true. I did borrow $100, but I paid you 50. I owe you 50 more." The Edom, in the meantime, say he owes nothing. We witnessed that the Lova paid the whole thing. So we say that the Lova takes a shvu and pays the half that he claims he owes, he confessed to. However, there's no shibun nechasim. The shibun nechasim, the lekuchos can say,
we believe
the Edom, and we can't post shibun nechasim. So the Rishonim had the following question. The Rishonim asked this kasha. They say, look, how is it that there isn't a hakasha? Isn't there a hakasha of the lova versus the Edom? Why are we saying, oh, there's no shibun nechasim, don't worry about it, the Edom cancel it out somehow? Why don't we say, well, maybe there is shibun nechasim, the lova starts confessing, there should be a shibun nechasim, he's confessing to it. The son of Rishonim say, well, you know what, with the lova, the Tosis and the Ritva say this, they say on different sides, saying the same thing it seems. They say, well, the lova and the Edom are not talking the same language. The lova is, the Edom are saying that the star is fully paid up, and the lova is only talking about half. He's not saying the star, he's not being makish the Edom, saying the star was unpaid. There's no real hakasha. They said technically there's no real hakasha. In theory, if the Edom were to spell out, the star was totally unpaid. The Ritva says that the quote saying the Edom were, the question of what the Edom meant, but let's say they're talking the same language. The Edom says the star is 100%, $100 owed, fully unpaid. And the Lova says 100%, I'm sorry, 0% of it was paid. He's mockished them entirely. So that would be a good hakasha. The first sheet in the Ritva, he quotes, and the Tosfos would say. However, the Ritva's own shita says, no, this is simply a case of a suffix. He says, this is simply a case of a suffix. Okay, so there's a suffix here, and therefore, we cannot impose the shibun nechasim. So I thought perhaps the machlok is like this. This is famous machlok we have.
Wait, what do you mean, suffix?
I don't know if you're going to force it. If I recall, I think what we're saying is that, on one hand, the Edom are saying there's no shibun nechasim, and the Lova is saying there is a shibun nechasim.
Yeah. Therefore, so we don't know who to believe.
We don't know who to believe, and therefore, as the case of Suffolk, we cannot impose
Shibun. Therefore, we can impose
the
Shibun.
We can't impose it. I think that's what he said. I don't have it here. I think that's what he's writing. So I think just, I mean, it might be a better way to learn this, learn it more in depth. But I thought perhaps the class machlokus that it applies here to what Hadass Baal Din is. On one hand, this is obviously a real Hadass Baal Din. He said, I owe $50. I owe half the star. So if we say Hadass Baal Din, Hadass Baal Din is the form of Nemanus, he's like, he can be made on himself if he owes money, or it's a form of Hischaivus. We don't know if he owes anything historically. He might owe zero, might owe, we don't know historically, we have no idea. He does it, he's Mechayiv himself like a netter or shrewd, Mechayiv himself to pay money. Historically, we have no idea, Mechayiv himself. So if we say the Peshad is a form of a Nemanus, right, that would be the idea of the Ritvik. So we don't know who to believe. We don't know who to believe here. He really is saying something that's legitimate. Adam says something legitimate.
But if you say Ne'amanus, you could also say he has such a Ne'amanus, Ne'aman Adam Asma Yosar Mimei Adam. You could say it's all a Hakira within Ne'amanus. But the question is, what type of Ne'amanus does the person have? If he has the Ne'amanus and Adam have Ne'amanus, then we don't know who to believe. Or do we say the Torah believes him more than to Adam?
He's superior to Adam, you're saying?
Yeah, his Ne'amanus is superior to the to Adam.
So really, it's not a form.
You don't necessarily have to say it's Tala and Chakira, Ne'amanus Yiskayv. Within Ne'amanus, I could understand what type of Ne'amanus does the Torah give. When we say Ne'aman Alda Atzma Yosir Meme Adam, what does that mean? So maybe the Torah gives him legabe. The pashtus the chakira is what's pshat neman al atzma. It's only relative for himself, or it's an absolute truth. The Torah believes regarding mamonos. The Torah believes him more than to aid him. And therefore, that's not a suffix. The first sad, not the ritva.
It says that what? This is really neman.
He's completely neman.
And it's more than Adam.
The second side says when the Torah says Ne'aman Atzma Yosir Adam, that just means Ligabe Lechov, but not Ligabe Chav Lachrini. He can be Mechayev himself, but when it's Nogea other people, then not. It's not an absolute Ne'amanus. Yeah, if it's a question of taking from him, yes, the Torah believes him. But when it's going to be a question of taking from Lekuchos, when it's Chav Lachrini, then we don't believe him. Because the Torah doesn't give him complete Ne'amanus. So only the Torah gives him Ne'amanus Legabe himself.
It doesn't mean it's Chav, it's Ne'amanus himself.
You're right, but even Ne'amanus, but it's only Ne'amanus Legabe himself. And the other Shita says, but if it's Nogei others, we don't believe. The other Shita says, no, the Torah believes him absolute truth more than to Adam. So therefore, even if it's no gay others, does it make a difference? Right, so you could say the Chakira within Ne'amanus. We don't have to make it taller in this machlokas.
Sure. The only thing that perhaps that indicates, what's the pshat that he can only legabe himself and others? What kind of...
It's a relative Ne'amanus. It's only Ne'amanus legabe himself, not legabe others.
You don't want to
it's not an absolute... It's not his chaibus. The Torah believes him, but only Ligabe himself. It's called
good.
Relative Ne'amanus, not absolute.
Okay.
That's the machlokus.
Very
good. Simple.
Okay. Let's go. Very good.
Okay.
Very good. I'm sorry if it was too fast. I hope I didn't...
No, you're okay.